she did?
Mm-hmm.
I know she did.
Yeah. Is
Also, this is Jackie and Sue.
She didn't tell us she'd turn it on, so I'll turn it on too. Well, we ought to tell you how things are going here. Last night, it started snowing or sleeting. We just were sure we wouldn't get to go to school today, so I stayed up to 11:30 and watched the FBI story, and then got up this morning at 5:30 and the weather came on. Sure enough, we had to go to school today.
I was sure upset. I even broke a glass of jelly and turned over some milk.
She couldn't even get started and go to school today.
We got your Christmas card yesterday, and we sure enjoyed it a lot. And Jackie said he was going to stand true to his promise about your little boy.
It might be a little girl.
We took him out, took care of him tonight. We fed him Mexican food.
Yeah.
And he has the hiccups.
Well, your wife can eat more of this hot sauce than the rest of us. And we've been eating this dish for a long time.
Everybody's been telling me how much I eat, and I know he just thinks I'm a big blimp.
Really, she looks real pretty.
No,
oh,
yes.
And real nice and real neat.
Your wife said she hadn't told you about the weather around here. We haven't been able to get much snow here, but we listened to radio a while ago, and maybe there's somebody over there from Flagstaff, Arizona, and they got 46 inches of snow there.
Wish we could send some of our cold weather to you and our snow.
We're going to try to enjoy it Christmas. I don't know whether you ever met Sue's roommate in college, but she and her husband wanted us to go to up to Denver skiing with them. It's about a 9-hour drive. I don't know whether we're going to make it or not. It seems like a long ways to drive for about 2 days of skiing when you don't know how to ski anyway.
I don't know that he's going to get me on those skis.
Well, I think we're going up there just to have some place to go and see some country, and maybe we'll get in some skiing without breaking a leg.
I think we ought to go to Ruidoso. Wasn't that where it was? I think it's such a pretty place to stay. Or some place to go skiing.
Well, this place is not very well known, and there are a lot of people that go up there that, you know, they, I think the lodging is $65
a
week for a couple.
This your room and board and everything.
And the skiing isn't expensive up there either, so we thought we could go up there. Maybe save a lot of money for some money rather than go somewhere really expensive.
If it's any good, we'll tell you about it. When you get back, y'all can go up there. Maybe we can all go up there together. It's supposed to have, at night, they have some kind of snow buggy and they carry you up on tours. In other words, up on the mountains, up to ski run. And you even do some skiing at night. I don't know, they have a torch? You know, they carry torches and ski up in there. And for some reason, this place is not real well known. This couple we're going with, they have some friends that have been up there before, and so I hope it's everything they say it is. I sure hate to drive all that distance, nine-hour drive, and not be a good skiing area, but it's supposed to be real nice. We looked on a map, and I forgot the town that he said it was nearby, but it seemed like there's 4 or 5 skiing areas up in there. And it's south of Estes Park up in that. It's supposed to be real pretty.
It's quite nice.
It is
quite nice. What would you do, go after Christmas?
Yes.
Okay. Go round.
Well, this is worse than talking on a telephone. I can think of more things to say on a telephone than I can on a tape. Especially when you're not here to talk back to us, too.
Congratulations on being Specialist 4.
Your wife said congratulations to you on being Specialist 4. We didn't know about this, really, though.
Have you told him about Joe's promotion?
No. Well, yeah, he gets those in the paper, but tell him anyway, because he hasn't gone ahead.
Oh, we haven't seen the paper either, and Sandy said you probably hadn't got yours yet. But they told us about it. Joe and Carol's pitcher, both of them was in the Olton paper here a couple of weeks ago, and he's a first lieutenant now. You ought to appreciate that, having a double cousin that's an officer now.
Well, didn't you read down there where it said Ethel Miller had been promoted to specialist four?
Ethel Lynn, I didn't even read it.
Well, we hadn't seen the paper. We just hadn't heard about it. Yeah, they
in the Plainview paper.
Yeah, Joe's was there wasn't a
run
picture.
Right down there. We can't let the Millers get out of the Millers.
They didn't have their picture over here. We hadn't seen it. Mother and Daddy were saving it then for us, but we haven't seen it. But it was just writing about them. We got a letter from Joe the other day. No, it was a Christmas card, wasn't it? And he finally got around to telling us that they were expecting a new member of the family. He said that Carol had been pretty sick, though. But I think from the way he indicated, maybe that she was feeling better here lately. Seems like your wife's not having any of these problems, though. She's always smiling.
They don't live with me, Elsa.
Joe may have told you, but he said that so far up in the northern part of Germany, he said that sometimes the people even wore their wooden shoes still. And he said if it went a week without raining up there, they considered it a drought.
And he also said that the area they were around wasn't anything like the North 40.
Yeah. I told him I expected not. But he said he had just gone through, they just had a big postal inspection up there, and then he added in quotations real quick, like, said he passed.
Did he say anything to y'all about going to paratrooper school?
No, he didn't say anything about, anything about a move or anything. He just wrote a quick note in this Christmas card that we got from him. He said the language, the Germans, they spoke a completely different dialect or something up there where they were. I don't know whether he's learned to speak any of it, either one of the dialects yet or not, though. But I don't think he probably likes it as well as where they are now as where they were. And I don't know whether they have the places to go to. Of course, Carol may not feel like running around a lot. When's there, maybe, do you?
The first of March.
Oh, it's quite a point of it, isn't it?
I know that she said her mother and daddy were wanting to come. And she was kind of wishing that they'd wait till the summer before they came, because if they came when the baby was born, she wouldn't be able to really get out and travel. And she said it was so expensive just to come over there to wherever they are and not go to any of the neighboring countries or anything. But I think Joe and Jill are talking about going, but I don't know when they're going.
Jake said when they were up in New York, it would be an ideal time. Mm-hmm.
So they just take off then, and, you know, because it's that far and just flown on across. I told Sue I kind of expected to hear from, you know, the folks out there that, well, Joe and Gerald caught a plane, you know.
No, they won't do that, because Carol made it very plain that she didn't want anybody but her mother over there. And very plain that she cared not to have Joe and Gerald come. You know.
Before or after?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but they're going.
It's your in-laws we're talking about, Elsa Lynn. We'll say something.
Your wife's been telling some of your wild tales that you told her. spreading bad news around here. She told us some of the good things that happened to you also, though. She's been telling you all about the flowers that have been sent to you in being interviewed for our colonel's aide. I still can't imagine you sitting back typing 30 pages though and then having somebody spill coffee on it and not raise too much cane about it. If you keep that kind of keep up like that, I won't even know you when you come back.
Well, tell him Merry Christmas. Or something. That's what they just won't talk to you.
Not quite used to this. Like I told you, it's easy to talk on the telephone. Well, we wish you a Merry Christmas over there and hope you have as happy a Christmas as possible and a Happy New Year. And we'll try to write you more. Been running around here so busy, or thinking we're so busy, haven't been writing you too much, but we'll try to get you a letter off here right after Christmas. And take care of yourself, and we'll try to see that your wife takes care of yourself, and I'll try to take care of that boy too.
Merry Christmas.
Elsa, this is our fourth grade room this year, and they're real excited today. They just got through doing their Christmas program, and so they're going to tell you who they are and I think that's about all.
Okay, we'll just start right here, and you just tell him what your name is.
Brenda Hare. Tracy Quisenberry. Jan Wardlow. Raymond.
Bobby Ketcherhead.
Aaron Jackson. Kathy Shipper. Shelley Perkins. Rhonda Kaiser. Jackie Noel.
Mike Jacobs.
Domingo Falcon.
Dan Holt.
David Formby.
Mickey Clifton.
Mike Sweet.
Mike Slack.
Okay, and they want to wish you something, Elsa, so you listen real careful, will you?
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Merry Christmas!
Good evening, Elsa. Well, this is Christmas night, December the 25th, and it's 10 p.m., and guess where I am? I'm here at home, all snug as a bug in my little bed, and I've got a sandwich and a glass of milk and potato chips that I'm going to eat in just a little while. So I may record for you for a few minutes and then stop and take a few bites and then record some more. I went out to Olton with Mother and Daddy this morning, and we, of course, visited with everybody all day long and everything, and then I just came on back into Plainview with Janelle and Tommy tonight. I guess we got here about 10 after 9 or so. Let's see, where can I begin? Well, I guess I can begin with about Friday. Mother and Daddy got here about 2 p.m., and I had just come in from running down at Sears. They got in the bedspread that I had ordered, and oh, it's just so pretty and just brightens up the room so, and I sent you a clipping of what it looks like. And anyway, Mother and Daddy made it just fine, and we just really enjoyed visiting with them. Friday afternoon, Doc came by. He was in town. And so he came by and stayed, I guess, till about 5. And then Terry left to go out to Don's because they were having Christmas out there Friday night. And then he and his folks left yesterday morning for Dallas and won't be back till about Wednesday or Thursday, I believe. But anyway, I made a pie Friday. How about that? An apple pie. And it turned out just perfect. And the crust was so good, too. It's the first time I'd ever gotten the crust to do right. And then, after Doc left, we just sat around and visited and really had a nice time. And then Saturday morning, I went and had my hair fixed and ran a few errands afterwards. And I had to take Mother and Daddy's car to the beauty shop because ours wouldn't start. And Daddy showed me how to take the breather off and work with it and how to get it started. It's something to do with, there's four little vent things underneath the, this is how much I know about it, underneath the breather, and two of them aren't closing. And so he showed me how to close them to make the gasoline get to the motor or something, and when it does like that and won't start. And anyway, Saturday afternoon, after lunch, we went out to your folks, and Liz and Ronnie were there, and Terry left pretty quick after we got there. She and Don went into Lubbock, and went to look at motorcycles, and then went out to eat at the Cider Z and to a movie. Just a minute. I tell you, that dumb cat was up here just a second ago licking on my sandwich, and I had to stop and spank her good. But anyway, we just had a real nice time. We ate supper out there, and then John and Gail came and brought your daddy and mother some pecans, and we visited with them for a while. And they took a picture of Trey and Gail and Mother and I sent it to you in a letter. I guess it was this morning. And then we got home, I guess, about 9 o'clock, and I was just pooped. I was so tired, and I hadn't felt good all day. It's just getting to this point, you know, where you're miserable or you're tired and, just want to be left alone and just get rest. So I took a sleeping pill and came on and went to bed, and then yesterday I just felt real good. Mother and I got up yesterday morning and went to Sunday school and church, and I was the only member that was there. Mrs. Ramsauer was there and Mr. Baker, the men's teacher, and then a couple visited, and Mother just really enjoyed it, and everybody was so friendly to her. And of course, all of the couples and things were out of town nearly. Hardly any of them have folks that are living here. And then we went on to church. And then yesterday, right after lunch, well, I called Tom and Janelle to see what they were going to be doing, and they weren't going to be busy, so we decided, well, we'd just go over and visit with them, because Daddy, you know how restless he is, and he so enjoys getting out and seeing cows and things like this, so I knew he would enjoy seeing Tommy's pigs and the sheep. So we drove over and got there, I guess, a little bit before 2, and he and Daddy, or Tommy and Daddy, just went out and, oh, fiddled with the pigs and with the sheep and stayed forever and ever and ever, and we'd begin to think they'd fallen in a hole, but they hadn't. Then when they came back in, we talked farm and about the bank and about cars and I don't know what all. We just had a real, real nice afternoon, and we left a little after 4 for Plainview, and then church last night was an early service at 5, and it didn't last very long, and so Mother and Daddy decided just to stay here at the house because Daddy was so choked up with a cold and sinus, and Mother hadn't really been feeling too good because of her sinus. And so I went on to church, and there were quite a few there, really, and it was a real nice and real different type vesper service. And I don't know, I just really wanted to go so that I could have some time to myself to just really think and think about you and what Christmas really means to me this year. And just for 45 minutes, I just felt so very, very, very close to you, Elsa. I feel close to you all the time, but especially at that time, being by myself and in church and the type of service that it was, and I just really enjoyed it. We had Christmas carols that we sang, and then Dr. Trammell gave a short sermon and everything, but it was just real inspirational. And I guess I got home about 6, and I thought we would go and look at the Christmas lights later, but I baked a pumpkin pie where you use Eagle brand milk in it. It's real different, and so that took a little bit of time, and Daddy coughing and carrying on, so we decided, well, we just didn't need to get out. So we came to bed, fairly early. Mother and I visited, and Daddy slept for a while, and then we ate a sandwich while he slept, and then this, that, and the other, and I fixed the pie, and then I wrote you a long letter, and finally just decided, well, I'd take a bath, and Mother and Daddy got ready and went on to bed, and so I just shaved my legs and took a bath and really enjoyed it, and then I slept real well last night. Then this morning we got up, and I guess about 9:30 or so, well, we started out for Olton, and when we got there, well, Nova and Dub hadn't arrived yet, and your mother had the Christmas dinner today. She and Jill had fought over who was going to have it, and I guess your mother won out. But you've just never seen so much food in all of your life, and especially dessert. I believe every one of us took a dessert out there. I've just never seen so much food. And about 1 o'clock, Dawn and Helen and all their brew got there, and Joe and Jewel. And then later on this afternoon, Bea and Earl and Randy and Barbara and Barbara's folks, the Collins, all came in. So really we just had a real, real nice day. Of course, it was so cold outside and the kids had to stay in the house most of the time. And they were hollering and carrying on and just trying to keep awake and really visit with everybody. And I am just absolutely exhausted. It's amazing how much energy at this time the baby really saps from you, and everybody keeps saying rest, you know, you've just got to rest and all this, but sometimes you can't. I just should have gotten up several times, I guess, and gone in and taken a nap, but I didn't. But I did have a good time. Daddy and Dawn went out to look at some trailers that Dawn, one of them, had built, and I believe 2 he had bought. they were to haul corn in and then dump, you know, the corn out. And Daddy wanted to see how he'd built it because he was thinking about doing something like this. So he really enjoyed that. Then when they got back, well, he and Joe and Dub and Ronnie all played dominoes for hours, I guess it was. And then Mother and Daddy, left about, I guess it was 5 or after. I don't even remember looking at the clock when they left. And I had been telling everybody that I wouldn't spend the night, that I would come on back in with Tommy and Janelle tonight, and that I'd be perfectly all right, that I had been by myself before, and that this was just home and my bed, and I was tired, and I would rest better here, and I'd be here in Plainview, and thus and so. And of course, everybody just insisted that no, I wasn't going to do it. I was going to stay right there, you know, and Helen was wanting me to stay with her, and Doc was throwing a fit, and Bert was throwing a fit, and everybody, and I don't know, you read, and Dr. Benson, and everybody says how moody you are at certain times during your pregnancy, which you are. And right this last couple of days, I guess, I really have, or weeks, I've noticed how moody I am. I mean, I'd just rather sometimes to be by myself and just sit down and write to you, or like I'm doing now, just tape to you. I'm more relaxed, and I enjoy it more and everything. And Dub left about 7, I guess, because he has to go to work tomorrow. And Nova's going to stay up a couple of days. And Ronnie took this week, coming week off. And I guess they'll go to Hobbs about Thursday, but I think they're going to take Nova home and spend a night with her. And Nova was wanting me to come, and I guess it's about 55 miles, she said. And I told her, well, I didn't know whether I would or not, that I just felt more at ease being here. Dr. Benson will be back Wednesday, and I don't care if the baby is maybe 2 weeks late, that I just feel better being here. And she said, well, she understood, but she's later talking about she'd been with 3 of her children. She'd been 60 miles away. I guess she'd always gone into Lubbock and always made it there in time and everything, but that didn't make any difference, you know. Not everybody's alike and everything. But I told her, well, it's still, though, she was at home. And I said, this is, you know, home and everything. And they kept all, I don't know, Elsa, it's real funny. I was thinking later this afternoon, I didn't know whether it's worse not having anybody to look after you, or whether it's worse having so many people look after you and having so many mothers and thus and so. Daddy was really wanting Mother to stay up here. And I told her, well, I hated for her too, because I know how tired she is, Elsa, and she hadn't been feeling well, and she's gone to the doctor and is taking some medicine and stuff. And I told her I'd rather she'd just go back home and rest, and then when the baby comes, when Terry calls her, for her to come up. And I'd really like for her to stay for about 2 weeks after the baby comes, because for that length of time, Dr. Benson just insists that you rest and that you take care of yourself and you not be doing any kind of work except just laying around and resting and doing as little even with the baby as you can to get yourself built back up and not to have a setback. And this is what I really plan to do. And so I told her if she came and stayed and the baby didn't come till sometime maybe 2 weeks after the 1st of January, that she would absolutely just be pooped. And so she understood and really agreed with me and decided to just go on home. That would be the best thing to do, and that she could get some things done there. And I don't know, I laughed and said, you'd think that I was the only one in the family that had ever had a baby. Bert didn't want to eat down at Jules because if they were down there, you know, and everything, well, it'd be upsetting and all this, and we'd have to leave if, you know, in case I had to leave and everything. And she wanted to be there at the house where they could get ready to leave and take me to the hospital. And Jules kept saying, no, let's have it at, my house, because it'll be so much easier for you. Just, you'll already be ready. Just pick up your things and go, and your house won't be in a mess and all this. And Helen had told him, well, my goodness, you know, she'd never seen such a fuss. And we were really laughing. And I don't know, I guess as this past weekend has worn on everybody, I'll say something. Oh, you're not going to do such and such. And get out of the kitchen and go sit down. You need to rest. And don't be reaching for that. And here, let me help you do this. Now, be careful now. Watch your step, you know. And you go in there and sit down, you know. And just on and on and on and on. And I just love Elsa, everybody to death. And I just appreciate it so much. But you know how things bother you. Well, this just kind of has bothered me too. And of course, if I didn't have anybody to look after me, I would really be scared and feel bad about it, you know. But finally, I don't know, after all of the hustle and the bustle and being around everybody today, so many people and the kids and hollering and carrying on and the parents getting on to them and everybody just insisting that I do this or not do that and just worrying over me and fussing over me and everything. And you know how independent I am too. And I was very, very tired, and so Doc just got pretty upset with me because I wouldn't stay out there, I guess. And so I just finally got up and went into the bedroom before supper and laid down and cried, I guess, just about like I did when Mr. Scott jumped all over me. And I just couldn't stop. I guess it just needed to come out, like they say. A little pregnant mother just needs a good cry every now and then. And so I just finally, the only thing that would shut me up was thinking sweet and wonderful thoughts about you and about how vexed you'd probably be with me if you could see me laying there crying like that and carrying on. And so I'd dry my eyes, and pretty soon here he'd come again, just bubbling over, just boo-hooing. Bert came in and wanted to know, didn't I want to eat supper? And I told her no, that I'd eaten so much for lunch and all afternoon long that I just wasn't hungry, and I knew I'd make myself sick if I ate. So I told her I'd just rather not, and so I went ahead. But then Susie and Wendy didn't know I was laying down, and they burst in and turned on the light, and Nova screamed at them to get out, you know. Then Dub screamed at the kids for something, and I heard everybody go, shh. And this just kept on and on. And so finally I just got up and repaired my makeup and everything and went in. And I guess they'd all decided, well, that I was going to come on back and not to just insist that I stay. And I hope everybody didn't think I was terrible, but I tried to explain it to them. And I don't know, darling, for some reason or other, I feel closer to you when I'm here at the house. I can sit like this and tape to you. And there's a whole list of names right here and phone numbers at my attention that if I should need somebody to go to the hospital or something, all I have to do is pick up the phone. And I feel like, well, the good Lord is watching over me, and he'll guide me and protect me, and I just pray to him that he will do this, and I know that he's right here with me, and that I'm not scared to be alone in the condition that I am and everything. Maybe I should be, I don't know, but I hope you won't be vexed with me. Your mother was saying, well, if something should happen and I had to go to the hospital and nobody was here, you'd never forgive any of them. And I said, no, because I believe I know how, or I feel like you know what I mean, because just like you said, you wish that sometimes you could just get away and think thoughts of the baby and of me, and that's the way I am. I don't know, even being here with Terry, having somebody live with me, I'm just glad I'm not having to live by myself. But it's good for us when she goes off somewhere shopping or just out for a few minutes and I'm not around her, when I have time to do things. And when she's here and I leave, it's good for her, because that way then we don't get tired of each other, and we're glad to see each other and so forth and so on. And there's just some time when a person wants to be by themselves to think things out and to just have some peace and quiet. And I knew if I came back that I could rest better, and that I was here, and that I'd just take a pill that to relax me, where I will sleep real good tonight, because I am so tired and tense and nervous and all this. And I just hope you do understand and won't think I'm terrible about wanting to come home. And your mother said, well, we just hate for you to be by yourself on Christmas Day. night, and I said, well, that's just fine, and I'm not by myself, because I'm not, because in my heart and in my soul and in my body, you're right here with me, Elsa Lynn. And darling, I just love you so much, and when this tape runs out, we'll just flip it over, because I'm going to record the other side to you also. I took it out to Olton today, and I was going to let the family and different ones record to you, but it was so hectic out there that I never could get them together. And, well, I don't know what to say, you know, and you just tell him we love him. And I think maybe if I'd have worked hard enough at it, I could have gotten them all together and everything, but I just didn't even want to fool with it because there was so much confusion and with the kids and things, it would have just added to the confusion. And I'd rather just take it like I have been from house to house as I go and let them record rather than trying to do it like that. I thought it would work out, but it didn't. So I hope that you won't be too disappointed in having just this tape of me gambling on and on and on about really nothing. And hope you won't think I'm complaining and everything, but I just haven't really sat down and talked with you in so long, and I'm just kind of using you for a sounding board again. And just hoping that you had the merriest Christmas possible. Of course, I guess yesterday you celebrated Christmas, if y'all are a day behind us. And I just want you to know how much I do love you and think of you and how very, very important you are to my life. I just don't know what I'd do without your love. And you're just in my thoughts every minute of the day. And I just get so excited thinking about the baby coming and our becoming parents and how happy you'll be and that I have a part of you growing right now and nearly ready to be born that is within me. And all I can think about is I'm giving my darling husband a son or a daughter.